It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Things go by very fast when there's big picture topics. Hot topics, you might say. But why don't we take a little trip around the league, because everything that happens out there pretty much is pertinent to the Steelers. And also take a little trip around the colleges, shall we? This was a big weekend for Pitt and Penn State. Why don't we do that first, the more I think about it? The Penn State game. Oh, okay. I thought he was surprising me with more things that I didn't want to hear in my headset.
No, college football music.
All right, I'm sorry. What is he doing, Bob? This guy.
He's producing.
This is incredible.
Give you some
the
jolt.
Last segment, he was firing things that I've never heard before into the headsets.
That was a little weird.
Now you made me all flustered. I was trying to help with the music.
No, I'm sorry. It was good. It was a good
choice.
In the context of what happened in the last segment, it was a little surprising. Would you admit that, Bob?
Well, at first, I thought, uh-oh, here we go again. But then it was the college football music, which means it's time to talk some college football.
I should never doubt our limitless wonder, should I?
No, he's pretty reliable.
Well, the first reason you had reason to doubt, yeah. I didn't realize if I pressed that button, you could hear it. I thought I just could.
Penn State, USC. Man, when those two teams hook up, Bob, we usually get a classic. At least two I can think of. This was a great game. And I will say this. Here's my take. We each get a take here. Is that even if Penn State loses in overtime, that was a Drew Aller grow-up game. He had a couple tough moments, and then he just lit it up. They have a dude, I think, in him, and I wouldn't want to be playing them from here on out. I wouldn't. I think they're going to go unbeaten in the regular season. They may wind up the season ranked first in the country. That was a hell of a football game. Your take?
I love their offensive coordinator and his willingness to do different things. It's not your typical Penn State kind of offense there. We saw some different play designs, some things that made me wonder what was going on, which is good because I think the defense has the same questions if you're not prepared for some of this. So my biggest takeaway, it's a fresh approach to offense. And yes, Drew Aller had a very good game and they needed it from him.
We should probably mention Ty Warren, 17 catches for 224 yards. Limits. I know you follow Penn State closely. Your take on that game and him?
Woo! I was nervous for a long portion of that game, guys. It was a 14-point deficit at the half. I like how they opened it up. I mean, that trick plays typically have not worked for Penn State in the past. Bo Prabula throwing back to Drew Aller to Tyler Warren. He had 217 yards receiving, broke the Penn State receptions record. I was a little hesitant about this game at the start of the year. Now, they got Ohio State in a couple weeks. I'll be at that one. That's the worrisome game. But if they can get past Ohio State,
well,
they will make the playoffs easily and be a top five team.
I think even if they lose a good game to Ohio State, they make the playoff. Don't you guys?
As long as it's one loss, and if it's that loss, yes. Because all these teams, how many do they have ranked in the top 10? Three of the top four are Big Ten teams. Ohio State only, I think, dropped to four after that loss to Oregon. So, you know, one loss, yes, it's sustainable, and they will get an opportunity.
All right, let's move on to Pitt. Their defense came alive in this game. That was a swarming pass rush and defensive effort. At the same time, Cal's coach, is it Justin Wilcox? Pitt should have carried him off the field after the game. What the hell is he doing, Bob?
Well, the first time.
He goes for a two-point conversion early, then you're forced to late. Then you don't get a good kick for your struggling kicker at the end. It's just, what is that guy doing?
I don't know, but I didn't like that call right from the very beginning. And I also thought this was a good game for Pitt in the sense that they did not rely on Eli Holstein and their offense. This was all about their defense stepping up against a team that had put 38 points on Miami the week before, albeit in a loss. So I think they have to feel pretty good about themselves, knowing they won a game where their offense wasn't what it normally is. And those can help your defense moving forward, certainly down the road.
So they get a nice little break here. They don't play till Thursday the 24th, home against Syracuse on ESPN. That's fantastic stuff to go into that game 6-0 for the first time since what, Bob? Since Mulsey had hair? Was Mulsey even alive in 1981?
I don't think so. So he didn't have hair. He didn't have an existence, actually. There was nothing to him.
Did Captain Merrill Steubing even have hair in 1981?
Sure, back then, I do everything for Mulsey.
He was hot then.
And he does nothing for me. He wasn't born yet.
Rick Springfield was hot in 81, wasn't
he? He was.
This is great for Pitt. And then...
And it's set up well for them. That Syracuse game, they have to play Clemson, I think, this week. I think that's right.
Syracuse does?
I think. Can you check that?
Well, then Pitt goes to SMU on Saturday, November 2nd. This could start
to
get...
That's a tough game.
Yeah, I know. But it's a great opportunity, too. And this could get very serious for Pitt moving forward. So that's just flat-out fun right now to have them doing what they're doing. All right, Bob. Let's take a trip around the NFL, if you'd be so kind.
Oh, there's a lot to talk about in the National Football League.
We each get a quick thought on...
How about points?
What
more points this week than they've had in any point of this season.
Yeah, we're not talking about those low-scoring games anymore. Quick thought on each game, whatever the storyline, it could be anything that happened, whatever it might be. Bears 35, Jags 16. Doug Peterson is going to get fired, and Caleb Williams is starting to come on big. Bob, Bears are 4-2.
And Caleb Williams out of the get-go is 4-2, and not many quarterbacks who are number one overall picks started this way, and he's doing some very nice things there in Jacksonville. Should play all their games in London because it's the only way they're going to get people to watch their games. And they have another one this coming week, I think. How many games do they play?
It's ridiculous. Twin Cities?
I don't think Doug Peterson will be on the flight coming back to the United States. He's just going to stay in London and take an extended vacation.
I think he's at an English pub right now, Bob.
That's an interesting question, too. We talked about earlier this year, who's the first coach to be fired? I thought it might be Mike McCarthy.
Well,
no, but Salah already got it.
That's true. I forgot. Salah already got it.
He got it. So who may be next? Could be Peterson.
The other thing there is that the AFC, I think there's only 9 viable teams for the playoffs. Only 9. And all you have to do is be 1 of 7. So I think the Steelers are in great position. Point being, I thought the Jags would be one of those teams, at least in playoff position. They stink. Packers 34, Cardinals 13. The only thing I want to talk about is my MVP candidate that everybody laughed at me for. Jordan Love is now second in the league in touchdown passes. I believe he's second in the league in yards per game. And you wait to see what he does the rest of the year, Bob. They're a viable Super Bowl contender, I think.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about that. And got to give a lot of credit here to Matt LaFleur. He's
out. Gee, son.
Gee, I like to say LaFleur. But he's terrific. And not only that, but he got something out of Malik Willis I don't think many people thought he can get out of, which was winning football.
I also picked Jordan Love, Joe, along with you to win MVP. I'm starting to feel a little bit better. And I love the rushing attack that they have in Green Bay, too. Pretty underrated.
Colts 20, Titans 17. The Colts are one of those 9 viable teams. I think their head coach is pretty darn good at what he does, Bob, and so is Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco, longest active streak in the NFL of most consecutive games with at least 2 touchdown
passes.
It's
unreal.
It's him. And he made a jump. He had to jump up and make a throw, which was a tough throw to make, but he did when he was about to get crushed to turn into a touchdown. They're better with him at quarterback, and Cleveland would have been much better with him at quarterback.
They would have been much better entirely because, I mean, look at the Browns again. Disasterful game, but I agree with every single syllable that you said, Bob.
And half syllable.
What about my syllables, Mulsey? Texans 41, Patriots 21. 2 thoughts. The Texans are really good and maybe the biggest threat to the Chiefs. Well, along with the second biggest behind the Ravens to the Chiefs in the AFC. And then Drake May, he did enough good things. I know he threw a couple picks. He did enough good things to tell me that Patriots fans should be pretty happy with that pick. I think they're going
to
be, Bob.
Takes time. But yeah, I would agree with that. But right now, and if you go back to the tape, I had the Texans going to the Super Bowl when you asked that question because of a lot of things, including Joe Mixon. I think Joe Mixon gives them something they haven't had. Out of the backfield, he's been terrific, and it's a nice security check down for C.J. Stroud.
No sophomore slump for C.J. Stroud. He's been terrific. The Drake May era begins with a 20-point loss.
Yeah, but he threw three touchdowns, 243 yards, but they stink, right? I mean, them and the Dolphins are just, they're done, as are many teams in the AFC. Bucks 51, Saints 27. I think the Fighting Baker Mayfields are one of the best shows in the NFL, Bob. Cleveland would have been better off with him, too.
There's no question. They've made bad quarterback decisions over the years, which is why they've had so many of them. But this game was all about rushing, pounding, and doing the things that they wanted to do. I don't know what's happened to New Orleans. I don't. I thought they started well, and I was expecting something better. But, man, Mayfield and that team. And, you still have two receivers at a very high level here with Godfrey and Godwin and Evans.
Yeah.
Those two guys. They both made touchdowns. I mean, just dynamic. So I really like what they're doing down there. I don't know how far it takes them in the NFC because I think there's some really good teams in the NFC.
I think the Bucs might be the third best team in the NFC right now behind the Lions and also behind San Francisco. The Saints are done without Derek Carr. He's going to miss a couple more weeks. But Tampa Bay.
You didn't mention Minnesota in there. No respect.
Yeah, you didn't mention Minnesota, and you're the Sam Darnold fan above everyone.
I completely forgot Sam Darnold in Minnesota. Yeah, they're better than the Bucs. All right, so Tampa Bay fourth. I did pick them to win the division.
All right, we have to pick it up, gentlemen. It's now a 3-minute drive. Eagles 20, Browns 16. I can't help but take joy in the Browns' demise, but the story here was Nick Sirianni clapping back at the fans. How about the you-know-what's on this guy, Bob?
Well, that won't endear him, and now all the radio shows in there, they
crushing
want him out.
Crushing him.
Some of these fans are nuts. They want Kelsey's brother, Jason Kelsey, to be the head coach. Come on now. I mean, just because he chugs beer better than most, is that why? Come on.
The Browns are horrendous. I want them to win a couple of games, though, just so they don't get a good draft pick.
But I think
that's a good point,
better
actually.
Days are ahead for Philadelphia because A.J. Brown is back. That gives them a big part of what they've been missing.
The Beltway battle. This was a really, seemed like anyway, it wasn't on TV, seemed like a very entertaining game. And my takeaway from this is that Derrick Henry looks like prime Derrick Henry for the Ravens, and they are absolutely the favorite in the AFC North. And I think, Bob, a clear-cut top threat to the Chiefs. You?
Well, they do it the way they've always done it under John Harbaugh. They pound the ball. It doesn't matter who's back there, you know, whether it's who have they had? Gus Edwards before?
Yeah, anybody.
Anyone. This guy, though, was the best signing of anyone in the free agent market. 1 year, $10 million. What he's done, they right now are on track to become the most prolific run team in NFL history. They, and through six games, are fourth best total of all time in terms of running, and that includes Lamar. Of course, but man, that's spectacular.
But Jaden Daniels played really well in this game.
He did.
270 and two touchdowns. I know they didn't win, but he's for real.
That's going to be a challenge for the Steelers. Chargers 23, Broncos 16. The Chargers are good. When they're relatively healthy, they are a threat also in the AFC, I think. Bob?
Harbaugh had to miss the game because of heart.
Left in the middle of the game a couple times, but he came back.
I know, but I'm just saying he had a heart issue going on, and I can understand that because of someone who's done it. But my biggest takeaway is that if Justin Herbert is healthy and protected, he is capable of beating any team. I just think that's how good I have respect for him.
And Denver's so wishy-washy up and down, but Herbert doesn't have that many weapons. Still getting it done, though.
It's all him is what it
right.
is.
Lions 47, Cowboys 9.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know where to start, but I'll since we're moving quickly, I had the Lions going to the Super Bowl. Now I don't. I think Aiden Hutchinson is that good. It was a horrific compound fracture there. I think it was a tibia. Just a terrible thing to have happen. And unfortunately, while I still think the Lions are very good, you can't lose your version of T.J. Watt.
You can't discount them because of his injury. They're that good offensively.
No, it would be like the Steelers losing Watt.
Okay.
But I think they're done.
With that offense,
their offense is
they're very
good. Done.
They're not done. You're going to find out this week. They go out and play Minnesota.
Done
which
as
be the
a team
game
that
of the
gets
year
to the Super
the
Bowl. That's what I'm saying. Not done.
No, I disagree. I totally disagree. I think their offense is prolific enough to do something against any team defensively in the NFL. What we saw yesterday was not a good sign for the Steelers, who struggled to lose to the Cowboys, and the Cowboys at home on Jerry Jones' birthday deliver that gift to him.
This would be like the Bills losing Bruce Smith. I mean, this kid is an absolute star.
They still can score points at a rate that I think can offset that. I know how tough that is to lose him. But at the same time, you're going to tell me that offense, who's going to stop that offense when they're playing the way they are? They got studs everywhere, including the offensive line.
Tampa Bay and Arizona did.
Okay.
I don't know. You know what I'm saying, Bob.
You know what I'm saying, Joe.
Yes, I do. They're still a threat. They could win a playoff game, something the local club here hasn't done in a long time. I just think as far as getting to the Super Bowl, that's too much to
overcome. How about the NFC North, if you look at their
off
numbers,
to the best start ever.
5-0, 4-2, 4-2, 4-2.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
This is not what the Steelers should have done to the Cowboys, but this is what a competent offense against that depleted Dallas defense looks like. The Steelers should have won that game last week. That's the first thing that popped into my mind.
Kirk Cousins has a big day. Falcons win big, but the last game we'll talk about quickly is Bengals 17, Giants 7. I thought the Giants were game. I have a soft spot for Daniel Jones. The guy's running like a fullback. He seeks contact. He's trying so hard. He's just not very good, Bob. And the Bengals stay alive.
I thought their field goal kicker really hurt them a lot. And so they were in that game, the Giants, and the Steelers have them coming up a couple of weeks from now. So I think, what?
No, go ahead.
No, I'm just, the Giants are better than their record indicates, I think, and are capable of winning some of these games. And they were in position last night to do it.
How about you, Chris?
The Bengals' leading rusher last night was Joe Burrow. Who's Chris?
I told you last week I went from twin to Wonder Twin to twin to Twin Peaks, and now Chris Peak of Panther Lair. So you've become Chris.
Oh, sorry, I can't keep track anymore. Joe Burrow had 4 carries, 55 yards, and a touchdown. He was their leading rusher. There's still issues in Cincinnati. They just beat a bad team.
You know Chris Peak, Bob? Very nice man.
Yes,
lives
indeed.
In Mount Lebanon, I believe.
Does a good job.
Have you ever been to Pekin Peak Ski Resort?
Yes, have done that too.
Do you still ski?
I go by the fire and drink wine or whatever I can, French martinis. I'm not allowed to ski, Joe. I'm on blood thinners, and I used to ski, and I don't ski anymore because I don't want to get bruised.
Limits, have you ever had a French martini?
No, and I've never skied before.
You should do both this winter.
At the same time?
Take a martini first and go down the slopes.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. The injury report, and coming out of yesterday's game, Bob, it's Zach Fraser was a major problem there, not to have him. Or it would be certainly moving forward. What did you hear? What do you think with his injury?
Yeah, I don't know, but that could be a big one. He's one of those guys, though, that, you know, he continues to just defy it. He wanted to get back in the game yesterday, you know, and that's a tough thing to do with those kind of injuries.
Injury report brought to you by Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet. All right, Bob, let's go to Ray Fittipaldo's report card from yesterday.
Always a good report card, always worth talking about.
And try to follow along. It's the number one most read item at postgazette.com. Let's start with the quarterback. He said Fields might have saved his job when he scored on that first down at the end of the first half. But he also says at the end the Steelers are 4-2, but at some point if they want to fancy themselves as true contenders, they need a much better passing game. He gives Fields a C. You?
C. I agree with that grade, and I agree with that assessment. We talked about it when we started this program today, Joe, that the passing numbers have got to get better. You can't miss open receivers. You got to – and Chris Hoke said something interesting yesterday, too. He said he seems to zero in on Pickens, and if not him, Freiermuth. He's not looking at a lot of other people. You got to do that. You have to, you know.
I mean, is anybody else open? Is Van Jefferson getting open?
Well, I think there are open receivers. I don't know that he looks at them all the time, and that's true of any quarterback. You're going to miss some things.
I think they have bad receivers beyond Pickens, and when Pickens isn't trying like he wasn't last week, that's problematic too, but go ahead.
By the way, I just wanted to add to this because you see Adam Schefter, he's on right now, and he was talking about Davante Adams. The Raiders are not getting any takers right now because they want a second-round pick, and they are not willing to take back any money. So I think
then let the Raiders be. Yeah. It's a pathetic franchise. Pathetic. And they're discovering now the perils of hiring an interim coach, too.
Right. That's the problem when you fall into that, you know, just get that guy because he's a rah-rah guy, whatever the case. They maybe have problems that'll go deeper.
Here's a take for you, Bob. In spite of two plays that could have been catastrophic, the first half interception that was called back and the fastball lateral to Jaylen Warren that's essentially a fumble, could have been picked up and run for a touchdown real easily by the Raiders. I'm giving Justin Fields a B, and I'm also saying I think with Russell Wilson they might have lost this game because I think some of Fields' best plays in this game were him avoiding sacks on Raider jailbreaks. I mean, they went after him to their detriment because he used the running lanes. I agree with Fields. He could have run even more. I thought his legs helped them win the game.
No question. That's a big part of his game, though, but it can't be the biggest part of his game.
I agree with that. I do. Running backs. Steelers got angry run Najee, said Fittipaldo. Warren not good, 7-on-6. He gives the running backs a B+, Bob. That seems a little tough. I'm giving Najee. Warren, yeah, he wasn't great. He wasn't even good. But Najee was unbelievable. I'm going with an A- here.
I'm going with a straight A, and the reason is because Najee Harris, of his 106 yards, 84 of them were after contact.
So really?
Yeah, 84 of his 106. So that's, to me, that tells me all I need to know about the running back. And I'm going to discount Jaylen Warren in this game. His first game back, I didn't expect all that much. It's tough to come back and make an impact. So I'm giving Najee an A.
Receivers. Steelers won yet another game without many contributions from their receivers and tight ends, says Ray. He said one of the biggest plays was Pickens when they were up by 16 with 4 minutes left. And then he says the tight ends, Freiermuth, Washington, Hayward combined 4 for 29. He gives them a C, all the receivers, all the pass catchers. You?
I'm going to take blocking into account, too, because I think that's part of their jobs. The Freiermuth block, I keep talking about that sprung Najee Harris for the final 20 of his 36-yard touchdown. I'm going to give them a C+. I expect more, though. I mean, to me, you got to have better numbers. Again, this goes back to Justin Fields in the passing game. You're not going to survive in a passing league when your passing game does not crank up more numbers and more opportunities down the field, not just little tiny pass. I'm talking about down the field passes. We haven't seen much.
Well, he also had Pickens drop a touchdown, and Pickens let a pass go right off his face mask early in the game. So maybe it looks better if Pickens makes plays. And that gets us to this little topic. Right around that time when Pickens had the big play, they tried to force feed him a touchdown. And Charles Davis on the broadcast said what was obvious. In fact, he said just that. You don't need a big investigation to know the Steelers are trying to take care of their guy. So was that more smart or more sad to you that the Steelers would cater and try to please Pickens in that situation? Because that's what the announcer said they were doing, and I thought that's pretty obvious what they were doing.
I thought they were going to do it right at the beginning of the game. I thought in the first drive they'd come right out and throw the first three passes to George Pickens. So they did it at the end of the game, and he did have drops, and there's still a lot not to like there. But, you know, somehow, some way, they've got to get him involved really big. And it would help to have someone opposite him who can be a threat. They don't have that. It makes it a little easier for the defense to, you know, double team him and do things and cater all of your coverage toward him. But they got to get more out of George Pickens, bottom line.
So what'd you think of the end of the game stuff?
Again, I thought they'd do it at the beginning.
Was it smart to do that, or did it strike you as that they were catering to him?
Well, it's sad that it has to be done like that, but it's smart to, because you have an investment in him. And if you're going to have any sort of life from the wide receiving group, it has to start with him.
I agree with every syllable you just said. Probably in the end, it's smart to have to once again cater to George Pickens. It's just like, let's get him his touchdown. Maybe he'll be in a good mood all week, and maybe in next week's game, he'll try for the whole game. Offensive line. Ray gives them a C. Bob, that seems like a high grade to me. You just mentioned 84 of Najee's yards were after contact. I thought the pass blocking was horrendous, and I thought Fields escaped a lot of trouble on his own, plus the penalties. No, they get a C- on that.
Yeah, I mean, I have to judge what you see, you know, and the performance wasn't good. They had a lot of injuries. I give guys credit for stepping in and trying to hold down the fort, but it's, you know, Broderick Jones has some issues out there. He's going to have to, you know, look like a missed assignment here and there that Fields used his legs to cover up for. You got to do better. So C- is probably accurate.
Defensive line gets a B+. I thought it right around there, but I'd say an A-. They were in the A range, weren't they?
After the first drive, which
why is Ray so tough on these guys, Bob? He's getting calls from people's parents on this report card.
And they're looking to transfer out of the school already. They want to get somebody else. Defensive line was, I thought, Montravius Adams, Cam Hayward, anyone who was called upon to stuff down the middle. Their run game, after the first drive, Joe, they had, like, I think 38 yards of rushing on their first drive. After that, they ended up with 57 total yards of rushing. That's it. They don't have a running back necessarily. The days of Josh Jacobs are gone, and they're going with Madison and Abdullah, but, you know, they did a very good job. Yeah, that's all you can expect them to do. The response defense, after the first drive, was outstanding.
Yeah, the defense did what it absolutely should do against what's maybe the worst offense in the NFL at this particular moment. Linebackers get an A. I agree. T.J. Watt, unbelievable with the timing of those punches that he throws, Bob. Two right crosses, and they get two fumbles in huge situations. Patrick Queen, I thought, had his best game as a Steeler. Peyton Wilson had six tackles. Roberts had a couple big hits again. And even Moon, well, that's probably special teams, but at least he contributed there. I thought the linebackers were outstanding.
Yeah, they had to be. I really, you know, because that's the one, when you get to the second level over there, you make sure. And I also thought they tackled very well. That's what you got to do in those situations. You can't allow extra yards because you're missing tackles, over-pursuing plays. They did a very good job of making a tackle.
Secondary gets a B+. I don't know what they did wrong, Bob. They get an A for me. And Dante, and credit to Omar and Mike Tomlin on the moves they made this offseason to bolster that secondary. Dante Jackson has three interceptions. He's up among the league leaders. And DeShone Elliott, wow. When terrific. He hits you, you stop in your tracks. He had a couple great third down sticks right before the sticks that are big plays over the course of a game. Those two guys are really helping.
Under the radar, you know, adds to their secondary, and boy, what a difference. And specifically to me, DeShone Elliott is just, he's a perfect complement for Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
That's why I want to see more from Minkah Fitzpatrick in the way of game-changing plays.
So what do you give them?
An A.
An A, yeah. Well, Ray was really tough on them, don't you think, Bob?
Yeah, I mean, you have to look at the total work of the day, and there's nothing to suggest they were anything but an A team.
Special teams gives an A. Boswell 4-for-4. Man, is he incredible.
What is it, 29 in a row on the road now? He's not missed one kick on the road.
Only his coach let him try that one in Indy. Well, I guess we can't get that one back, huh, Bob? Instead, we'll punt from the other team's 41. Jeremiah Moon with the block. I saw nothing bad about special teams. I agree with Ray. Give him an A.
Yeah, it has to be an A. Significant plays in your kickers. You know, we haven't talked a lot about Corliss Waitman too much.
Yeah, he's done a nice job.
Every time called upon, he's done a very good job.
I agree with every quarter syllable you just said. Quarter. Coaching. Tomlin's defense made adjustments. At some point, Ray says Tomlin and Artie Smith must decide if they're going to go all in with Fields as a runner and develop an offense around his strengths. I do agree with that. I think that's an interesting point by Dr. Fittipaldo. Or they'll have to find out if this offense is better with Russ and a better passing game. So he gives the coaching a B-minus here, Bob. What say you?
B-plus. I think it was, you know, again, after the first drive, everything changed. Now, were there plays in there bailed out by both the defense and the officials who gave Steelers chances that maybe they wouldn't have gotten elsewhere? I don't.
Their best offensive play was roughing the passer, wasn't it?
I mean,
you might take 14 points off the board if not for those two calls.
I think you can make a case that there were 21 points directly affected by things of this nature. So, therefore, they did what they had to do. They won by 19 points on the road. How could you not like that, regardless of how they did it? So I give them a B.
I do, too, because if the game had gone sideways, it wasn't their fault. One was a horrible Fields pick. The second one was, I think it was a third and long.
Yeah, they were going to be
a nothing
punts.
Play. And then the one at the other end was, again, just a lucky break. But they didn't really do much wrong to me, the coaches, yesterday. Did they for you?
No.
Did you like Tomlin going for two when he did?
That's one of those things that has become more fanciful these days. When you chase points.
I don't like chasing points, Bob. Ask the Cal coach from the other day.
Yeah,
his team had as many field goals and touchdowns as Pitt.
Which I don't think that's a smart move. You're on the road. Take the points when you can get it. I think in this case, you know, just because he wanted to get back at that, they have a lot of good two-point plays in their repertoire. It just didn't work. So I don't have a big problem with that one way or the other.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app